We're going to be in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I was using this story Wednesday night with our teenagers in our series on faith. And this story is probably one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. One of the most impossible stories to believe. It's so neat to see how God worked here with the children of Israel. And it never seems to fail. Probably at least once a year for the past dozen years or so, I have preached at least one message, if not a series, out of this passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 14, referencing this story, because I love it. And there are stories that I go back to. I mentioned this a few times ago that I preached. There are stories that I always go back to that are kind of my favorites. The story of Jonah is one of them. I love the story of Jonah. And the story of Peter walking on the water is another one I go back to a lot. But this one, God working in the lives of the children of Israel, is one of my favorites. In Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to skip around a little bit. Really like to read the whole passage, but I'm going to try and get you out of here a little bit early this morning. So I'm going to skip around a little bit. We'll start in verse 1, and then I'll do some skipping around. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahairoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." I'm going to get you to skip down to verse 13 there. "Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And skip down to verse 19 there. "And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, that went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." So many great, great message opportunities throughout this passage. "The Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts, Lord, to help us to grow closer to you, to grow as Christians. Lord, I ask that you would just help us throughout the course of the day today to see you as Moses seen you, as a God who can truly do anything. Lord, help us to have that vision in our hearts and our minds, no matter what it is that we are going through today. Lord, please speak to us through this sermon, through this message. Lord, please hide me behind the cross. Help them not to see me or my personality or who I am. Lord, but through the words, see you. To feel your presence. To feel your Holy Spirit in their lives moving and helping them to grow. Lord, help each of us to be changed here today. We'll give you the honor and glory for it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I love this story. I love this story because it really shows how impossible situations can really get in our lives. And then it shows us how God can work in spite of those impossibilities. When you see the children of Israel in this story, God leads them through the wilderness to this place. He actually has them turn and walk into what we would picture as a cul-de-sac, a corner. Yes, Brother Keith, you're working today. He has them walk into a corner. On this side, they've got a mountain, probably with a stronghold city on the side of it, owned by the Egyptians. On this side, they have a massive fortress that belongs to the Egyptians. In front of them, God has turned them so they're facing the Red Sea. And behind them, Pharaoh's armies now has them trapped. They are truly cornered as the children of Israel. God brought them from Egypt. And if you remember the 10 plagues, what an amazing story that is in and of itself of what God did in order to get the children of Israel to where they were at. They were in Egypt and God ran through 9 plagues. Pharaoh kept his heart hardened against the children of Israel, would not release the people of God. And all of a sudden, the 10th plague comes. And I could only imagine what that would have been like, hearing the cries throughout the land of Egypt. Probably for miles and miles you could hear the screams as the Lord took the firstborn of all those who did not place the blood of a perfect lamb across their doorposts. God took the children of Israel and Pharaoh said, please leave, get out. And so they started marching. Estimated some odd 2 million people marching. Imagine all the women and children carrying babies. Every possession that they had with them. And they're marching through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, I would imagine from a very long ways away, they hear Pharaoh's army coming. Because if you read that passage of Scripture, it's not just a few of the greatest army on the earth at that point in time. We're talking Egypt, Pharaoh, who had the most powerful nation there was, the most powerful army there was on the earth at the time, coming up after them. Every last one of them, all of his chariots, all of his horsemen, and all of his army. When you read that passage of Scripture, they're all coming after the children of Israel. And I would imagine you could hear that stampede coming from a pretty long ways away. And the children of Israel are standing here trapped. And the children of Israel didn't have quite the same view of God that Moses did. They were a little scared. They were looking for a way out. As a matter of fact, they said it would have been better to stay slaves back in Egypt than to be in the position that they were in. But Moses looks out and says, listen, we're doing what God told us to do. It's going to be okay. And so they're standing there and looking, trying to figure out what to do. And God takes the pillar and moves it behind them and causes darkness for the Egyptians. And says, okay, Moses, here we go. Lift up your rod against the sea and watch what happens. And maybe one of the coolest things that would happen in the Bible. God all of a sudden creates an east wind and the water stood up as walls. Now think about that for a second. It's not just that God cut off the water supply. He didn't just build a dam there and all of a sudden the water just swept away. Both upstream and downstream, He built up a wall of water on both sides through this wind. This wind came through and built a wall of water on either side of them so they could walk through on dry land. Could you imagine? I mean, just at the bottom of a river, how much mud and muck and disgust there would be. Feet and feet below the surface of the water, it would have been nasty. Have you ever lost a shoe in the mud? So disgusting. It smells nasty. It's gross. I don't like dirt. It's just disgusting. And He doesn't just provide their way of escape. He dries the ground so they don't even lose a shoe. How cool is that? Our God's pretty awesome when you think about it.
Amen.
So he creates this wall of water, and there's so many arguments about this, like, oh, it was maybe only that much water where they crossed and blah, blah, blah. Listen, he created a wall of water on both sides of them. A wall big enough that when all of Pharaoh's army came through, it drowned all of Pharaoh's army. Not one of them survived. Now, I don't care if there was that much water. I don't care if there was 20 feet of water. Once they crossed on dry land, he used whatever amount of water and took out all of his chariots, all of his horses, all of his horsemen, and all of his army. All in one fell swoop, he took them all out. What a great story. Pretty impossible story. Like the children of Israel, I can promise you life is full of problems. It's been said that either you're coming out of a problem, you're currently in a problem, or you're about to go into a problem in life. And I am sure that sitting here tonight, we have representations of all sorts of problems. Maybe there are some facing some tough decisions that you view as a problem. Maybe there's some that are just in a hard spot. Maybe there's some facing sicknesses and health issues. Like the children of Israel, you may be feeling trapped. Today I want you to see what Moses seen. Today I want you to have the knowledge that Moses had in verses 13 and 14 where he says, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." I want you to have that view of God this morning. I want you to have that kind of confidence in your God that Moses has in his. Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." This is what Moses knew. This is what Moses was experiencing in his life. And this is what he was trying to get the children of Israel to see. That although it may seem impossible right now, not with God. For with God all things are possible. It doesn't matter how dreary or desperate or how scary a situation may be. With God, all things are possible. We may not be able to determine the outcome of our situation, but we have a God that can carry us through regardless of what that outcome may be. Because He is the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with my God. There is no problem too big for God to solve because nothing is impossible.
Amen.
There's no relationship so ruined that he cannot reconcile because with God, nothing is impossible. There's no habit holding us back that he cannot break because nothing is impossible. There's no illness that he could not heal were it his will because nothing is impossible. There is no weakness that cannot be made strong through him because with him, nothing is impossible. If you're looking at your situation or your problem in life today and you think it's out of his hands, then you don't know the same God that Moses knew. And I'd like to introduce you today to this God of the impossible. We have an awesome God.
Amen.
We used to use a phrase with our school students. I still do every now and then. God is awesome. You don't leave awesome. When you experience how awesome God truly is and can be, you don't want to leave him. And you see him for the God who can do anything, even if he chooses not to. The Bible tells us that it will rain on the just and the unjust. God does not promise an easy life just because we're saved. He does not promise us that once we come to know him as our Savior, that the problems will go away. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, if God only blessed us after salvation and we never went through any hardships, any trials, or any trouble, then salvation would be a bribery that he used to see us saved. And it wouldn't be done out of love for him. What does he promise us? That if we were looking to him and following him, what he does promise us is that all things will work together for good. Even those problems, even those trials, even those strains in our relationships, even those sicknesses, and even our weaknesses. He is the God of the impossible. Can I let you in on a little secret this morning? He actually loves to show it. He wants you to trust him enough that he can show that he is the God of the impossible. No matter what you feel trapped in or what problems or decisions come your way, I challenge you to remember this. It's still better than what you deserve. What do we deserve? Well, Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. What we actually deserve is hell. Nothing more. Were it not for the gift of His Son that He sent, we would not have any hope because we would get what we deserve. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He gave us that hope. He gave us that gift so that we didn't get what we deserved. You see, when we come short of God's glory, we're short of everything that He expects, the perfection that we need in order to attain heaven. But He gave us the gift of His Son. Amen. Something that was impossible for us, reaching heaven on our own, of our works. He gave us the possibility through His Son, Jesus Christ. He died so we can have eternal life. Can I just say to start, there is no hope for your situation if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and heaven is your home. No. Because He is hope. And that's where it has to start. The rest of this message, the rest of the messages today, the rest of the messages of all life would be pointless if you did not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that's where hope starts. The children of Israel, in verses 11 and 12, though we kind of skipped over, but they were very upset. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They thought, the children of Israel thought they deserved something different than what was happening in their lives. They got caught up in what they could see rather than faith in a God who they could not see. This God that Moses had, the God of the impossible. That's why the Bible tells us that we are to live by faith and not by sight. Because I can promise you that when you get caught up looking at the problems that you're facing, you're going to lose sight of the God who's in control. When you get caught up looking at the problems like the children of Israel did, when you get caught up looking at the sicknesses and at the issues and at the trials and the tribulations, when you get caught up looking at those, then your God of the impossible in your eyes will become the problem that's impossible. And that's a change of perspective that we cannot afford to have if we want to live with joy and peace. Many times in life we have the perspective of the children of Israel that we start getting focused on our problems. We start getting focused on the issues that we're going through. But we need to have the perspective that Moses had. A perspective of seeing the God of the impossible working. And he told the children of Israel in verse 13 how they could see the God of the impossible. What a great reminder for us to see that same God as well. For he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And promise to be short this morning. I'm going to give you one point to take home and we will be done. With the hope that you will return tonight to hear the other two points. It's my bribery. Moses said first in that verse, fear ye not. When I think of fearing not, I think of a power or a confidence that I do not have on my own. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There is a power and a confidence that Moses had, and it wasn't a cockiness in himself, it was a confidence in the God of the impossible. He said, fear ye not. Because when we start looking at our situation, when we start looking at what's going on all around us, it's easy to fear. It's easy to worry. It's easy to get upset. It's easy to get discouraged. But when we look at that situation, in light of the God of the impossible, we can walk through it like the children of Israel, like Moses led them, understanding that we can have a confidence in a God who is in control, in a God who can do all things, a God who can do the impossible. I read that an African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot-high wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. The faith that we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. Satan can't give you any more than a 3-foot-high wall in life. But it's amazing how often it will hold us in as Christians. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that. Faith begins where man's power ends, because He is the God of the impossible. We can have confidence and we can have faith that we don't have to fear no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad the sickness gets, no matter how strained the relationship may be, no matter how bad the outcome might look, you have a God that's in control. We call this His sovereignty, a fancy word for saying He's got it. If you just trust Him, He's got it. And because He is in control, we don't have to fear. We can live in power and love and a sound mind. See, your loving God who saved you from the pits of hell is easy to start loving, as it says there in 2 Timothy 1:7, through power and love and a sound mind. It's easy to love Him because He first loved us. It's easy to love Him because regardless of the situation you go through, He has still offered eternal life. What love is that? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Loving your God who is able to carry you through your trials. Loving you, your God, who always gives you what you need. Maybe not always what you want. I can have the ability to not fear in life because I can have the confidence that God is in control, because I can have the love for Him who takes care of me. When I think of love, I don't think of just loving God. I think of loving others. It's amazing. When you put your love and compassion into somebody else, it starts taking your mind off of your problems, your worries, your troubles, and it helps put your focus on somebody else, some other need. Maybe praying for a friend or sharing Christ with them. It's not just about loving God, it's about loving others. I can be confident and not fear because of the power that God has, because of the love that He has given me, and of a sound mind. Sound mind is not feelings. Sound mind is basing things and basing decisions on knowing what is right from His Word, and not what feels right. Not with human understanding. Not in man's wisdom, but in God's power. The children of Israel could make a sound decision of walking through a wall of light. Could you imagine how scary that would be? I am scared to death of water. I know there are others here who are scared to death of water and heights. Those are my two. I'm scared to death of water. Could you imagine walking through carrying your children, maybe your little baby, and having a wall of water on either side of you? Marching through with some odd 2 million other people. Imagine the fear that could have crept in. But the sound mind to make the decision of following God no matter what was enough to take them through that wall of water to the other side. Sound mind might not make sense all the time to others, but it always makes sense to God. I can have power and confidence. I can have love and I can have a sound mind, but not if I'm afraid. It's not going to happen if I'm looking at the situation and I'm not looking at God. This morning I challenge you. Fear not. Look to your God. Look to the God of the impossible and just trust Him. until I learned to trust the Lord. I never learned to pray. Never learned to fully trust till sorrow came my way. Until I felt my weakness, His strength I never knew, nor dreamed till I was stricken that He could see me through. He who drinks deepest sorrow drinks deepest too of grace. God sends the storm so He Himself can be our resting place. His heart, who seeks our deepest good, knows well when things annoy. We would not yearn for heaven if earth held only joy. Fear not this morning, because no matter what the situation is, God is in control, and He loves you, and He's given you the ability to follow Him with a sound mind. But first, you must know Him. So I'll stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.